Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Don't have to tell me what day it is. That camel will probably tell me what day it is. I think this is right, isn't it? I mean, I don't know, because I'm always working like 2-3 days in it. I don't know what day it is.
Guess what day it is.
I'm going to guess
Guess
something.
What day it is. Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
David, hump boy.
That's hump day is right. What was that from? I don't even know anymore. Does anybody even know anymore? What was that? Was that like an insurance company commercial or something? I don't even know what it was from anymore. I can never stop doing it. It's so corny. It's so stupid. It's kind of like my show, corny and stupid. Just can't stop. It's hump day in the doghouse. Got an idea what you want to contribute to the show? We invite you to get in toll free. 866-485-9867. We also have the entire digital doghouse for you as well. That consists of our Twitter feed, at Tom Abraham Show. You can throw us a follow there. Facebook fan page, throw us a like at Facebook.com/Tom Abraham Show. Then there's the text window, 7329-TA-SHOW, 732-982-7469. Doghouse inbox is open as well, tom@tomabraham.com. Weird show today. I mean, it was just, it's a weird, it's not that it's a weird guest list. It's just that it kind of came together weirdly. About 20 minutes. I mean, I send out, you know, invitations to come on the show and things like that. Usually, well, I try to do it earlier than the day of, but you know, a lot of times it's day of and I'll send out an invitation or two. And I was coming up stones today and I was out to about four people, mostly college football people. I wanted to get a feel for what's the mindset in the Big Ten. You know, with Ohio State looming and with Wisconsin unbeaten and being left out of the four right now and things like that. So I reached out to a couple of Big Ten guys and I reached out to an SEC guy. And then the next thing you know, Anthony Heron, he had his coaches call with the Arizona coaches, moved right on top of when he's supposed to talk to us. So it was either us or Rich Rodriguez. Us, Rich Rodriguez. He chose Rich Rodriguez. So the next thing you know, I was moving him to later in the show. And then like 15 minutes before airtime, everybody I reached out to responded. And I'm like, oh, hell. I went from like, you know, dog alone to a strong show. A lot of football in here, but it's a strong show. Of course, the College Football Playoff Committee rolled out poll number 3 last night, and as expected, Alabama assumed the post position. And then it got a little odd with Clemson in the two-hole, followed by Miami and then Oklahoma. Now, look, you know, you can make a pretty strong claim for both Miami and Oklahoma to be ahead of Clemson. In fact, I almost wish that if I didn't know how good Clemson is, I'd have had, because I had Miami 2, Clemson 3, Oklahoma 4. But I almost kind of wish I had a Clemson 3 or Oklahoma 3 and Clemson 4. The reality is if those four keep winning, they're in. But with Miami and Clemson on an ACC title game collision course, somebody has to lose, which is going to probably open up the door for someone in the next four, which is Wisconsin, Auburn, Georgia, and shudder the thought, Notre Dame in that order. Now, look, I don't think Notre Dame has a clear path. I mean, they would need big-time help. But the other three clearly do. I mean, Alabama wins out, they're going to be number one. Clemson or Miami, whichever one wins the ACC is in. Some things would have to happen for the other to get in. Oklahoma wins out, they're in. They could get as high as two, maybe. You know, depending on what happens. And then if they lose, then all hell breaks loose, and then the next thing you know, we're looking at one-loss teams out of the ACC and the SEC that we've been talking about. The other team, I'm not going to say clear path, but the other team that has got a shot here is Ohio State. They're at 9, and they're going to get consideration. If they run the table at Michigan, and I know Michigan would be like an 8-4 team then, but it would be at Michigan. That's still got to count for something. At Michigan and against Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, they're going to get consideration, depending on what happens. So anyway, back to Clemson. Clemson beat number 6 Auburn, right, by 8 points. And they beat number 19 NC State by 7 points. Well, Miami, they just whacked Notre Dame, which was number 3 at the time, by 33. And the week before, they beat Va Tech, which was number 13 at the time, by 18. Now, I know, see, these guys don't take in, I guess, they don't take in margin of victory and things like that, but isn't that more impressive than Clemson? And when you look at Miami's loss, they don't have one! Now, to Oklahoma. Oklahoma has wins over number 9, Ohio State, by 15 points in Columbus. They got a win over number 12, TCU, by 18 points. And they beat Okie State by 10 in Stillwater in that ridiculous arena football game. And Okie State is number 13. So what you're saying is the Sooners have 3 wins over top 15 teams, 2 of which came on the road, and all 3 were by at least 10 points. So how are they behind Clemson? Then there's this from our friend Kevin Rogers at VegasInsider.com. Clemson lost to Syracuse. Syracuse allowed 64 points in a loss to Wake Forest. Syracuse lost to Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee lost to UAB, who didn't even have a football program last year. Yeah, so there's that. And the odd part is committee chair Kirby Hokut, he seems to be speaking a little bit with forked tongue. He says that the Oklahoma loss to Iowa State is what's keeping Oklahoma below Clemson. But Iowa State, 2 weeks ago, the same committee ranked Iowa State number 15. So that loss is worse than the Clemson loss at 4-6 Syracuse? At 4-6 Syracuse? Well, they said that it is because in large part, Kelly Bryant wasn't 100%. Oh, wait a minute. So now we're adding that in? So now we got to weigh that in? Now, let me just say this because, you know, with me, it always comes back to this. So I'm going to say this. Remember Vegas? Yeah, those guys in the desert? Vegas scoffed. Ha ha. They scoffed at the prospect of Georgia being number 1 and Alabama number 2. Remember, they have Alabama as a 6.5 point favorite over Georgia if they were to meet in the SEC championship game in Atlanta. It may even be higher now, maybe 7 or 8 points after what Auburn did to them. So as the committee was giving us Georgia 1 and Alabama 2, and everyone else in the country virtually had Alabama 1, Vegas was like, ha, 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 ha. Well, Vegas has Clemson a 5.5-point favorite right now over Miami on a neutral field for that ACC championship game. You think they might sell some tickets to it this time? I mean, are you kidding me? You got an ACC championship game with a trip to the Final Four on the line. You think you people could sell some tickets to that game? I mean, the last couple of years, the upper deck in Charlotte, they just closed it. They just sold the lower deck. It's like nobody goes to that game. The SEC championship game, good luck getting a ticket to that. Good luck. Pac-12 championship game when they were playing it in San Francisco or in Santa Clara, they just closed the upper deck. I don't know what the Big 12 championship game is going to bring at Jerry's World. Is the ACC championship game? Where is the ACC championship game this year? Is it still in Charlotte? I don't even know. I think it's in Charlotte. I'm telling you, they had at least 20,000 empty seats. So what are they going to do now? We'll see. All right, in other news, by the way, who exactly is this whole college football playoff thing? There seems to be some confusion out there. I'm going to try and clear it up because by the nature of the texts and tweets that I get, people talk about one text I got even was questioning whether or not the teams could sue the NCAA for not placing them in the Final Four. And there's some confusion here. The NCAA has nothing to do with the college football playoff. The only tournament the NCAA runs is the Division I AA tournament in the 2 and the 3. The FCS, Football Championship Subdivision. That's the NCAA champion. The NCAA football champion is the 1AA champion. They don't run the bowl games. They don't run FBS. They don't run the college football play. They have nothing to do with it. It's a private company. It's just a company. It's just a private company made up of the schools. I don't think some people know that. I'll try to give you more detail on that in a little bit. We know how crazy Alabama and Auburn fans are down here. Didn't we just have a guy on Monday in Mobile, I think an Auburn or an Alabama fan, shot one of the other fans in a leg or something over an argument or who was better? I mean, look, let's not shoot each other over this, okay? Please, can we just not shoot each other over this? I mean, maybe we're going to have an Iron Bowl dinner, and maybe we're going to have 10 or 12 Auburn fans and 10 or 12 Alabama fans, and maybe we can find that many people who agree to buy the other dinner and wear their gear and serve them at a restaurant of my choice, maybe. But we're not going to shoot each other, okay? Let's not do that. But how about Kentucky basketball fan? Have you been following this story at all? Kentucky sports radio host Matt Jones and website contributor Drew Franklin. Matt Jones has been on the show before. They are being sued by basketball referee John Higgins and his wife Carol and their business WeatherGuard Inc., which is a roofing contractor. It has a website, Rooferies. That's cute. Rooferies.com. He's a referee. For allegedly, the talk show hosts are being sued for allegedly prompting the University of Kentucky basketball fans to post negative reviews of the referee's roofing business and make harassing calls after Kentucky lost to North Carolina last year in the Elite Eight. And remember when John Calipari was criticizing the refereeing? So these guys went on the air and on the web and encouraged Kentucky fan to give bad reviews to this guy's roofing company. So now the guy's suing him. He's suing everybody. Suing the network, suing the talk show host. You got to be careful what you say in this gig. It's like, man, you can't turn this into a personal vendetta against my company. Kentucky didn't look bad last night in that 4-point loss to Kansas. You could say they look better in a 4-point loss to Kansas than they do in their first two wins of the season. And Duke is, well, Duke. Grayson Allen went off for 37 last night against Sparty. But he's the best shooter in the country. Period. End of story. And how about Colin Sexton? In his first game for the Tide last night, leading away with 22 points in that 22-point win over Lipscomb. And then fellow freshman John Petty out of May Jemison with 14, the second leading scorer. The two freshmen, Colin Sexton and John Petty, leading away. You know what? This could be fun. This could be kind of a fun year for Tide basketball. It'd be kind of like a neat thing to tide all the Tide fans over, no pun intended, until signing day and then spring football. You know, it's a nice little diversion. Avery Johnson. Why haven't we had Avery Johnson on yet this year? He comes on every year. Why haven't we had him on? Avery Johnson and his basketball team offering some, you know, something to do, waiting for signing day and spring ball. We're going to kick things off today with Doug Lemerice, Buckeye Talk podcast and Cleveland.com. Talk about the Big Ten shot at the Final Four. In the three, we're starting with open lines. Then we're followed by David Moulton from SiriusXM's ESPNU Radio and the SEC on CBS. In the four, Jordan Bianchi, who handles NASCAR for SB Nation, is in with a final look at the other Final Four. This is the one that will play out in Homestead at Homestead Speedway near Miami between Martin Truex, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski. Two Fords, two Toyotas, whoever finishes high. You don't have to win the race. You just have to beat the other guys. Whoever finishes highest among those, forget the points, forget the stages, forget all that crap. Those four guys at Homestead. Now, here's the weird part about NASCAR is that, you know, the other 36 cars will be on the track, too. I mean, if we're going to go, let's just go. You know what I mean? It's like, let's clear that thing out. Let's just go with these four cars. Let's go, man. Jordan will be followed by Nick Wilson from 92.3 The Game with more football playoff talk. And then at the top of the five, Anthony Heron from the Pac-12 Network is in with his thoughts on all things Final Four. So Ant goes to the top of the five, which is usually an open lines segment, and we'll go open lines at the top of the three. Does that work for you? Works for me. Man behind the curtain playing the stacks of wax and the platters that matter, answering the phones, pushing the buttons, making sure that we stay on air in our Palatial Lump Studios. He's a Sooner stuck in the deep south. He's part Italian. He's part Mexican. He's part mutt. His family calls him Antonio Mac, but to us, he's Tony Mac.
Chico, don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand.
Kiss my brown ass.
Do you know who I am?
Who in the blue hell are you?
I'm the producer of this show. If I didn't step up, you're nowhere. I put this thing together out of spit and polish.
What do you call yourself? King, queen, princess, whatever you are?
You don't ever say that to me. Bullcrap.
I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, what, greaseball, goombas come out of the woodwork.
All those of you that know Italians and like Italians, this is your day.
But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
You can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
I think this is one of the traits of a really good producer. Keep the talent happy.
Tom, can you get me off the hook? For old time's sake.
You ask a question every week that I don't know anything about.
I don't know how to say this, so I'm going to choose my words very carefully. I think you're a psycho.
There was no doubt about who I was going to hire. Didn't interview anybody, didn't talk to anybody, just hired a guy.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
Say hello to my little friend.
Hey, T-Mac, how you doing today?
Big dog. I'm fantastic today. It's been a pretty good day so far. I got some good basketball last night. I'm sure you got to see a little bit of it. I saw a little bit of the second game. Yeah, I mean, it was fun. I honestly didn't expect too much. It's early in the season, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of take that with a grain of salt. But it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Both games turned out to be better than I thought they were going to. Celtics extended their winning streak. So I'm excited about that before they play the Warriors.
13 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good number to have before we play the Warriors tomorrow. So good stuff.
Yeah, no, it was a good night. I actually caught the first half hour of the first game. I was waiting for the Junkyard Babe to get back. She was shopping in Murfreesboro, and then she came back, and then we went to dinner and had a little bit of dinner, which was nice, and worked our way back to the house. And then I went 9 full innings and knocked out a show and then still caught the second half, a good, decent part of the second half when she fell asleep. I didn't invite anybody over to watch it with me or anything, you know what I mean, because that would be stupid. But she fell asleep on my shoulder, and I watched the second half, a good chunk of the second half of the Kentucky-Kansas game. So a good night had by all, I will say that for sure.
Absolutely. It sounds like a good time, man.
Yeah. No, it was a good time. Grumpy wants to know, how impressive is Miami's win over Notre Dame? Georgia beat Notre Dame, and Auburn stomped Georgia. Oh, yeah, that hurt. That hurt Georgia. That hurt Notre Dame, the way that went down. No question. But Notre Dame got more credit for losing narrowly by 1 point to Georgia than they were for any of their wins.
Yeah, and he was asking, I think his original question was, how impressive is it for Miami? It's very impressive because you mentioned Georgia beat them by a point. Miami throttled them.
Yeah. No, Miami hammered them. But what he's saying is that Miami hammered them, but Miami hammered the team that Auburn hammered the team that beat the team that got hammered by Miami, which I understand. And that's why Auburn's ahead of both Georgia and Notre Dame.
And then,
but Notre Dame to me is overrated right now. I still think they're overrated at 8. I don't even think they should be there at 8.
You can play that crazy seesaw though with a lot of teams that have a loss or sure. 2 losses, because you can go look at Auburn and say, okay, yeah, Auburn beat Georgia, throttled Georgia, but they also lost to Clemson, who lost to a 6-loss Syracuse team, who got throttled by Wake.
Oh no,
you know what I mean?
Oh no, my friend. You don't have to go there. You don't have to go to that one. I mean, if you want to play that game, I'm just saying, if you want to play that game, you could say that Auburn lost to LSU, who got beat by Troy, who got beat by South Alabama. I don't know. Do you think Gus Malzahn is dodging Joey Jones anytime soon? All right? I'm just saying. All right? If you want to play that game, I've done that year in and year out with these things, where you find a great team that lost to somebody who lost to somebody who was crap, who then lost to somebody that was terrible, like a Division I AA team. And then we're like, I remember 1 year – I got Louisiana Tech. This was like BCS talk. This was before the playoff. I got Louisiana Tech and somebody else. It was like Louisiana Tech and some other clown team. I got them into the national championship game because they had beat the team to beat the team to beat the team. It's true, man.
That's good. Yeah. So you can kind of play that seesaw all around. I'm not down and grumpy or anything. I'm just saying, when you kind of muddy the water when you look at other teams, when you start trying to play that game.
Well, this is the part of this. This is the part of this that we don't really get. And this is why I get a little upset sometimes when a team like Wisconsin, even though they've played kind of a crap schedule, is unbeaten. I don't think that the committee, and I don't think fans in general realize how hard it is to win every single game with a bunch of 19 and 20-year-old kids. You know why? Because they're 19 and 20-year-old kids. And it is so hard. And everybody's like, oh, my gosh, look at Alabama. I had to come back to be Mississippi State. Oh, my goodness. No, it's hard to win every single week. It's hard to not lay an egg when you're up big against LSU or, in a game like at Clemson, when it was like you look at that game now and we keep saying 8-point loss. But when you remember that game, it was like the biggest blowout 8-point game you ever saw in the history of the world. I mean, it was like no chance. Auburn got sacked 11 times. Of course, they didn't have Kerryon Johnson. But you don't know. And then Clemson gets beat by Syracuse on a weird Friday night game. How about stop playing on Friday nights, everybody? Hey, Big 12 or Pac-12, how about you stop playing on Friday nights? Every team you got that's worth a flip has been beaten on a Friday night.
That's a great point.
Are you kidding me? All right. Give me the Manoj so I can get on with this show, because I feel incomplete. You know what I mean? Like a great woman once said in a fantastic movie, you complete me. So complete me with this Manoj so I can move on with it.
right, Big Dog, I'm going to start at 1960 with Elgin Baylor. He scored 71 points against the Knicks. That was the first NBA, that was the first time in NBA history anybody had ever scored over 70 points.
What year was that?
1960.
Yeah, no three-point line either.
Yeah, Wilt Chamberlain didn't start his dominant scoring path until, I think, like 62, 63. But that's now the eighth most by a player. Wilt has five out of the seven games ranked above Elgin Baylor. And six separate players ever have scored 70 points. So that's a pretty impressive exclusive club there. 1967, Carl Yastrzemski wins his only AL MVP, the Major League Hall of Famer. And in 1970, this is not good for the Big Dog, Paul Brown, head coach of the expansion Bengals, their first year in the NFL, beats the Browns, his former team, and calls it his greatest victory ever. And remember, he did win three NFL championships with the Browns.
Yeah, I cried like a baby. I was 9 years old, but I cried.
And in 1988, Kirk Gibson wins the NL MVP award after his, I'm assuming, great season, but it's all remembered by that home run he hit. In what game? What game was that? Two,
one. That was game one. And but that was that. You know, they don't. Of course, the MVP. He wasn't a World Series MVP. He was the regular season MVP. And that, of course, is voted on before the playoffs. So it really didn't have anything to do with that. But yeah.
But now, I mean, when you think back, that's all you think about.
I can't believe what I just saw. You know.
And one birthday today, 1952. He would have been 65. Passed away in 2011 of a heart attack at 58 years old. Macho Man Randy Savage was born today.
Gosh, my guy. I mean, I love the Macho Man, too. He was one of my favorite guys. And, yeah, Randy Savage passed away. And how weird was it that his wife, Miss Elizabeth, she died at a young age, you know? Mm-hmm. It's you know. But, yeah, Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth up there in somewhere. I wonder if the Randy Poffo, the brother, I wonder if he's still alive. Think he's still alive, or is it Larry Poffo? Randy Poffo was Randy Savage, I think, and I think Larry Poffo maybe was the brother. You wrestling geeks out there, let me know if that's the case. I think Larry Poffo was his brother. That's their real name. The given name is Poffo, and I may have just made that
his
up too, but I think pretty sure
his name is Lanny.
Lanny Poffo?
Yeah,
or Larry Lanny?
It says Leaping Lanny.
Oh, Leaping Lanny Poffo. Yeah, that's right. Lanny. That's Randy Savage's brother. Is he still alive?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Mm. All right, let's get a break. When we come back, I'm open lines. Doug LeMaurice starts it off from the Buckeye Talk podcast. We're talking a lot of Final Four here on the show today. A lot of college football in the show today. Why wouldn't there be? On 730-1039 EM.